If a program manager asks a company to bid on a highly technical requirement, you want to be sure the winning contractor or its subs can actually do the work. If it uses consultants to win that prize, you could have a problem. Well, that's the gist of a recent protest case that ruled out consultants. Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney at Petrillo and Powell in Washington. He joins me with more on this case. Joseph, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so give us the outlines here. This concerned Veterans Affairs Department. What was it they were trying to buy?
They're trying to buy one of these umbrella contracts, a broad, indefinite quantity contract for a wide range of information technology services, lots of different things. And the contract was supposed to last for 5 years with an option for an additional five-year period. Offerors are bidding on labor rates, basically, so that they can propose various types of IT services.
All right, so the idea came to one of the would-be offerers to use a consultant, and but that went contrary to the way the VA wrote the solicitation, correct?
Right, right. What happened was, as is very customary in these types of procurements, since you're going to have competition during the contract for the individual task orders, in order to figure out who's giving you a good solution and a good price, the agency makes up a sample task order. It might be something that they're really going to award. It might be something hypothetical. In this case, there were three hypothetical task orders, and each offeror had to provide a technical and price proposal for those three hypothetical task orders. The agency would then evaluate, among other things, the technical excellence of their solutions that they had proposed. VA threw offeror is a bit of a curveball here. It was a wrinkle that I haven't seen in other procurements. They said that if you, when you provide your offer, you must certify that you have not used any consultants to provide your sample responses to the task order, to provide your technical proposal for the task order. It had to be done solely by employees of the offeror and by the subcontractors. And if they were subcontractors, you had to disclose who they were, and they had to have a teaming agreement with you.
I guess the obvious question then is, what's really the difference between a subcontractor and a single person? I guess presumably a consultant is one person, although a lot of companies call themselves consultants. So is there really a material difference between the two?
Well, that gets dicey, and that gets down into some of the details of why GAO denied the protest. The offeror, if I can go through the protest grounds, it'll emerge what the agency's getting at here. The offeror said, look, this is not a good idea. It's going to unduly restrict competition. And they protested. And GAO said, no, we're going to deny the protest because you haven't proved it's an undue restriction in competition and that it's unwarranted by the agency. The agency had defended their view, saying they want to make sure that the evaluation is going to be based on the knowledge and abilities of individuals who would actually be involved in performing the contract, which is a reasonable thing to ask. But the agency, the offeror then said, well, wait a minute. You're saying you want that to be the case, but even if we use our employees, there's no assurance that that an offeror will use the same employees in performing the contract that they use in submitting the proposal. They might take the people who wrote the proposal responses and assign them to other contracts. GAO said, well, yeah, you're right about that, but, it just reduces the risk. So they thought that was a sufficient reason. The other issue, and it gets to your question, is the agency said, the offeror said, look, the consultant could be hired to work both on the proposal and on the contract. And GAO said, well, yeah, that's true, they could. But then they would be subcontractors, and there was an exception for subcontractors, and subcontractors then would have a teaming agreement and would be disclosed in the proposal, and that's true. You can convert a consultant to a subcontractor. I think there are two wrinkles there. One problem is that some people work as individual subcontract. Pardon me, as individual consultants, and characteristically, they're treated as 1099 employees. They're called independent contractors by the tax and labor folks, but they're basically individuals who are working on a project basis for a company. They're not employees in the classic sense, but they're not subcontractors either. I mean, I don't know anyone who puts their 1099 employees under a actual government subcontract. There are employment agreements and consultancy agreements, but they usually don't have all the flow-down clauses and the rest of those things. So that's something that GAO hasn't come to grips with.
We're speaking with Joe Petrillo. He's a partner at the law firm Petrillo & Powell. And what about the cost factors? Because very often these contracts specify the level and hourly pay and so forth of people that will be involved in the execution of the contract should the contractor win it. Could it be that there's a cost issue with because consultants tend to be more expensive than maybe some subcontractors?
That's probably the case, although it depends on the specialty you're using. You know, if you're not going to use the consultant full-time, ultimately might be better off on a global in a global sense hiring the consultant on an hourly rate basis. But as you point out, the hourly rate might be higher, and there could be a problem there. I think the main problem that this is going to pose, if this practice becomes normal, I mean, I've only seen this in this one VA procurement, but if this becomes regular government practice, I think it's going to hurt small businesses in particular, because they're going to need to supplement their existing skills and capabilities with outside skills and capabilities from folks like consultants. And this is going to put a damper on that type of activity.
Is there any indication that this company that was denied, it's called Advanced Communication Cabling, Inc., will appeal this to the courts after the GAO ruled against them?
I haven't seen any indication that a case has been filed, but I think they would have a tough time because you know, they would have to show that this actually contravenes the laws and regulations regarding procurement, not just that it's a bad idea. It probably isn't illegal, but it may not be a good policy.
Interesting. We'll have to see what transpires there in the future. Joe Petrillo is a partner of the law firm Petrillo & Powell. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.